So who's going to tell me?
Me.
You're going to tell me now? Is it in this envelope?
Yep. Are you ready? Do you want to break format and open it yourself?
No.
Ramesh.
Yes.
You are 47 years old. Your biological age, though, is... Hello, and welcome to What's My Age Again, the podcast that will age like a fine wine. But can we say the same for each of our guests? Our episodes take a celebrity. We take their blood. We test it to determine their body's biological age. We then take a deep dive into their lifestyles to find out who's burning the candle at both ends and who might need a little bit of help to get their body back on track. Today's guest is a comedian and presenter who's traveled the world in a series of misadventures. His self-deprecating humor has made him a massive favorite on the comedy scene and in TV and on the radio. It's Ramesh Ranganathan, and he's just turned 47 years old. But how old is his body? We'll find out very shortly when we're joined by our resident scientist, Dr. Nicola Conlon, to reveal all. Ramesh, hi.
Is this it?
Oh,
hello.
In.
Hi.
You did the marathon last year.
Yes.
And you're going to
Are we getting straight into... There's no small talk on this.
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's full of small talk. This is small talk.
Okay.
I'm just so shocked that someone who did the marathon would want to do it again.
Yeah.
No, what happened?
That. Well, I did it for a charity.
Oh.
And I felt like I could have done it better. Although when I finished the first one, I was like, I'm never going to do this again.
Yeah.
But then I got involved with another charity. Mm. And I thought, what a great way to give the impression of being a good person.
Yeah.
To do, like, to double charity, two consecutive years. So, yeah, so now I'm doing it again. But I'm hoping to do it quicker than I did it last time. Not that there was anything wrong with the time I got last time.
And what was that
But
time?
I think 6.5 hours.
Yeah, that's quicker than most people.
But...
Who've never run a marathon.
Yeah. It's certainly not quicker than most people who have run a marathon.
But they have problems.
Yeah. I would say it's a lifestyle change,
yes,
running a marathon. So I wanted to do it quicker this time. So that's where we're at. And as I speak to you now, I'm fully aware this isn't going out straight away, but I'm 3 weeks out. So I'm about to begin my taper.
Which is
where, like, so you peak your training, and then because training for the marathon is so damaging to your body, you have to spend a couple of weeks not doing a lot of training so that your legs can recover in order to be fresh for the actual thing.
Well, that's really good.
Yeah.
And I think really in line with what we talk about in What's My Age Again, because you've picked an interesting time to do a biological age test while training for this marathon. Because you think, oh, it's healthy, I'm at my fittest ever. But actually, will we have tested your blood in a period of health or like maximum strain?
I do think this is probably one of the highest stress times that you could have taken my blood.
Right.
I don't think running marathons is good for you. I think running is good for you, mm-hmm, up until a certain point. But like if you are training for something and they say don't train too much because you're going to destroy yourself too much before the actual thing.
Right.
To me, that suggests this isn't good for you. Do you know what I mean?
What are you most worried about? Joints, nipples?
Nipples is something I've been across quite a lot.
Yeah.
I do have quite, it's safe space, right?
Yeah.
I do have quite prominent nipples.
Oh.
And so whenever, like I've done any kind of TV, if I'm just wearing a single layer, I normally wear those like little daisies. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I sure do.
Yeah.
They make me wear them. I don't want to.
Yeah.
I'm like, let people
see. No, I know.
See.
You've always been very like pro-nipple. I know.
I'm a mammal.
Yeah. Socially, it's, yeah. You've always nipples out. But whenever I'm filming sitcoms or whatever, every now and again we have to redo a scene because my nipples have been distracting. And they're not always looking the same. They're like my eyes.
I'm sorry that you've been objectified in that way. I feel like it's not fair.
It's nice to have something to look at, isn't it?
Didn't someone complain to Ofcom after you took your shirt off on Channel 4?
I think it might be an Asian provocateur.
All right.
But I took my top off to do some like martial arts training and they said it was, my physical form was offensive.
See.
Somebody actually directly messaged me to say that they were eating dinner and they couldn't finish their meal.
Oh, fine. So it was a DM. It was not like an official
complaint.
I think there was
an official complaint as well. But I don't think they phrased the official complaint like that. I don't think, you know, you want it to be taken seriously.
Okay.
But the complaint to me was,
yeah,
I couldn't finish my dinner because you took your top off.
That sounds like negging to me, and they wanted it.
I don't think they did want it. I think
because
if anything, they'd been given it and they were not keen. But yeah, it was like, I kind of, you know, I've lost weight since then, mm-hmm. but I still don't think I have a great physique. Like in terms of the physiques that we are being regularly shown, I don't have a great, you know, in the tech, in a great one, but that makes me want to show it more. I feel like people with regular bodies need to be showing them all the time, because I feel like on TV and on social media, we're constantly being shown really good ones, mm-hmm. you know, technically really good ones. And I think it's skewing our perception of what an acceptable body is. And I think actually, if you have a body and your body fat percentage is in double digits,
yeah.
it's actually your duty to get it out. I actually think you're doing society a service by doing that.
Well, and in comedy, for some reason, it's funnier. You know, Will Ferrell in the old school scene where he runs down the road naked, he went on record saying he purposefully gained weight for that because it would be funnier.
Well, you know, like I do a show with Rob Beckett.
You have to think because you do a show with everyone. You have so many shows. I do a show with Rolodex. Which one?
Yeah.
Rob Beckett.
With Rob Beckett. Yeah. And we did Rob and Ramesh versus ballet. And one of the bits in that, we had to like wear ballet training gear. Mm-hmm. So we went and got changed. And when we came out of the dressing room, production were like going, oh my God, this is so funny. This is so funny. Yeah. And then I said, but we're not done anything. So what you're saying is our bodies are funny in these outfits.
Yeah.
And so then if you then lose weight, like Rob looks great now. Mm. He looked great then, but he looks society great now.
So you and Rob have lost weight.
Rob's like on a big like health kick.
Do you think that maybe you guys have been shamed by this show? It sounds like you're both on the same trajectory. People laughed at both of you in the ballet outfits.
Well, luckily, what I've discovered since I've lost weight is it doesn't matter how much weight I lose. Mm. My proportions mean that my body will always have a comedy element to it.
Okay.
It doesn't matter if I get bigger shoulders. When I start talking like this, people think I'm being horrible. Like, you know, it gets awkward, but I'm very comfortable with this. My bottom half doesn't look like it should be attached to my top half. I would describe when I am naked, I look like a cut and shut. You know, I look like two bodies have been attached together.
Okay. I know you just turned 47.
Yeah.
How old do you feel?
About 47.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not that bothered about getting older. I'm not massively bothered about it. But I do feel like there's some parts of me that feel like 47 in terms of like, I have zero ambition.
What?
Now. Like to do anything. I don't give a shit anymore.
Well, I think it's because you do so much that there's no room for ambition. And I think you described it best to me when I was talking about my schedule and you said, yeah, I told my agent that this schedule would work if they were ferrying a box of ham. But I'm also a person with a family.
Yeah, this ham needs to like eat and shit and sleep and stuff. Yeah, I don't. So I kind of like, I feel like I've got to an age where I'm very comfortable with doing whatever I feel like doing.
Okay.
I'm happy to say no to things if I don't want to do them. If everything stopped now, if after I leave here and I get a phone call from my agent Flo saying, oh, they found out that you don't really have any talent, you're done.
Okay.
Great, what a ride it's been. You know, I'm not upset. It's like, it'll be fine. So in that way, I feel 47.
Yeah.
In terms of actually knowing what the fuck I'm doing, like in terms of being a husband or a father or just being a person, I don't feel 47. Like, you know, I've changed a lot of, like I've had transformative experiences mentally in the last 2-3 years, like in the way I think about things from like reading and like experiences I've had. And then I think that's quite late on to have that. Do you know what I mean? Like,
okay. It
is quite late on in life to suddenly start thinking, oh, I think I got being happy wrong all the way up until this point. Do you know what I mean? So in some ways I feel 47, some ways I don't.
Well, your career started, I wouldn't say late, because I know that you were always doing comedy and like rap, but you were, what? You were rapping, but you were a math teacher. So like what, where were you
such
rapping?
A piece of shit.
You were.
Why did you say?
Do you know what I mean? Like amateur rap.
I love the one.
Like you had an interest in the creative arts.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
But you became a math teacher. Why? Because you're Asian. Is it because you felt like you're...
I wouldn't say that being Asian is completely disconnected from it.
Okay.
I was doing a job. Basically, when I first left uni, I just wanted to make as much money as possible. I wanted to make as much money as possible.
And you thought, math teacher?
No. This is before I was a math teacher.
Oh, I see.
I wanted to make as much money as possible for the least effort expended possible.
Ah. Right?
Which is why I did an economics degree, because I read that that adds the most to your potential life earnings of any qualification. So I was like, I'll do that. And then I was working as a cost analyst for an airline caterers. So that was like, it's a really boring job, but like basically, it's a really boring job to describe.
It was I know what it is, can I guess?
Go for it, yeah.
So they've got a budget for making airplane food.
Yeah.
And then you need to work out how you can like maximize customer satisfaction, but minimize quality and price.
Correct. So basically what happened is I'd like turn up to like a presentation and they'd have like all of the trays that you'd have on the plane, and the airline would go, can we have a lasagna on this and can we have a thing on this? And then I'd have to work out how much we'd have to charge them for the stuff that they've asked for.
Wow.
So for example, if they want a cherry tomato in the salad, I have to work out the cost of that across the fleet, plus the cost for the person to put the cherry, you know, that costs money.
Oh.
That cherry tomato doesn't just occur there. So I had to do that job. I didn't have to do that job. I interviewed to do that job and I was paid, you know, a decent wage to do that job. But one day I was like sat doing it and I was like, I'm just gonna go pop to the toilet. And then when I went to the toilet, I sat in the cubicle and I started crying just spontaneously because I became quite sad that this was going to be my life.
Yeah.
I just thought, this is the most of my life now, is doing stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that quite depressing. But then when I got back to my desk, I felt better. Like, I actually felt like refreshed and I'd pressed a reset button. So then I would do that every few weeks. So like every now and again, I'd be like sat at work and I think, oh, I'm feeling a bit, I'm going to go and have a toilet cry now. And
just build it into the schedule.
Yeah. I would just like every few weeks I have a toilet cry and I'd reset myself. And then after a while of doing that, I thought, I don't think this is how you should live your life.
How many people do you think are doing that?
Loads of people. My big fear was that someone would walk in, because what would happen is I'd present as quite happy.
Yeah.
So I'd be at the desk, I'm just popping to the toilet. And then if somebody else went to the toilet at the same time, they'd hear me sobbing in trap one. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if anyone did hear me. There might be someone with a story about how they regularly heard me crying in the toilets.
But and
I
isn't
think
it
a
funny,
lot of people know that.
Now you present as unhappy, but you are
happy.
Happy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, actually, I've just come from doing my hip hop radio show here.
Yeah.
Somebody messaged in to say they enjoy my bleak outlook.
Oh.
Is that true?
I don't think it's bleak. It's just self-deprecating. It's a thing. It's a shtick.
It's
fun.
Shtick, yeah.
It's like...
Shtick is insulting, isn't it?
No.
I don't, but shtick.
I dated a Jewish person.
Yeah.
I use a lot of Yiddish.
No, I know you do.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you hated the airplane job. You cried
then,
in the toilet.
So then I was like, I want to do a job that's like rewarding. That's rewarding. Full stop. That's the end of the sentence.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I was like, why don't I become a maths teacher?
And how old were you then?
22, 23.
That's so young. So young to be crying in the toilet.
I know. Or too old, depending on what the reason you're crying is.
Well, yeah, it's very young to already reinvent yourself.
Well, I just became, because I'd like sort of, I just thought, is this what life is now?
Yeah.
That's the truth. I was like, oh, I really enjoyed school and I really enjoyed uni. I didn't really enjoy school, but like, you know, it was fun. And then I went to uni and that was fun. And now I've got to the bit that I'm going to be doing for the most of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And this is shit.
Yeah.
So that depressed me. So then I was like, I'm going to have to try and find something else to do because I'm not enjoying this. So then I thought teaching's good, not because I thought it was going to be easy or particularly enjoyable. I thought it was rewarding. I probably want to do something rewarding. So then I interviewed to do like a graduate teacher program where you like you don't have to go back to uni. You can do it on the job.
I knew it.
What do you mean you knew it?
I knew they weren't trained.
I wasn't trained.
No,
it was a year of, you know, I had to do a lot. Yeah. I had to be observed a lot and, you know, all that shit. And then I qualified to do that. And so that's what I went on to do.
Okay. And during this time you started doing gigs and you were into the creative industries, but you didn't want to pursue it or you didn't think you could or what?
Well, I started doing comedy on the side.
Yeah.
But I never wanted to do it as a job. I was just like, you know, like all teachers have like a little thing, don't they? Teachers are in a band or whatever, or they're into drugs or whatever. So I was like, let me just, I'm just going to do stand-up as like a little thing I do. And so I started doing it in the evenings. But then what happened was is I did a gig, one particular gig, the promoter came up to me and said, like, you definitely should do this for a job. Like, you can definitely do this for a job. And then I was like, oh, okay. And then it was only then that I thought about doing it as a job. And so really there is another version of me that would still be a maths teacher. And I would have been like, I don't know if I'd have been equally as happy. I wouldn't have had the same finances, but I still would have been happy. I really did like teaching.
Oh, okay.
So it wasn't like I didn't get pushed out of teaching. I got pulled into comedy.
Fine. So you had like three separate little lives that you could have gone down the road.
You're putting the rap to one side, the rap you refer to with such disdain.
I didn't refer to it with disdain. Well, you know, I love rap.
You said it was like sort of a, you went, you got your comedy and your little rap, you know, your rap thing.
Listen, were you rapping in the evenings as well?
No. It was I did a few freestyle competitions.
Yeah.
Got to the finals of one, got knocked out quite humiliatingly in the final of that. So badly that my friends asked if they could leave separately. So, you know, that was a low point. I remember at that point, I thought, I don't think I'm going to rap again.
Well, it's good that you did because it's all very much intertwined with what you do now.
Thanks, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And then you and I met around that time.
Yeah.
You were gigging and I was gigging, but we weren't like professional.
No, we weren't professional. But I do want to, you know, I will always try and take this opportunity to give you your flowers when I can. Mm. You were and continue to be one of the most remarkable talents I've ever. I remember like doing a, we did that, I always talk about this a lot, but we did that gig at the pub. What was the pub called?
The Albany.
The Albany. And you were on before me and my whole set, you'd left by this time because you didn't give a shit about people. But, my whole set was about how difficult it was to follow you because of how good your set was.
No, I think
you ripped it. I reckon, you know, like when you have a moment where like people talk about how you saw somebody and you knew they were going to be a star.
Mm.
I just thought this person, I just remember thinking, this is like one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
That's so nice of you.
This person has to be a megastar.
I wish I could remember that set and put it in my current tour. I have some bad news about being Sri Lankan.
Go on.
Apparently.
Predisposed to early death.
Yeah, why?
I don't know, but if you know, I didn't need you to deliver that fact. I live in my family. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
They're dropping dead left, right, and center.
Are they all? Because I know that you lost your dad.
Yeah.
I don't know how you prefer to say it. Some people don't like to say lost because they're like, no, he died.
We did lose him before that to sort of adultery.
Right. Well, but at least he had some fun in the end.
Yeah, yeah. We lost him to adultery in prison for a while.
Prison?
Yeah. He went to prison. Oh, I told you this.
Good for him. I must have forgotten.
Yeah, had a good time. That's where he discovered weed.
It's getting sexier by the
minute. I mean, he didn't discover it, but he discovered it for himself.
Fine.
But my dad's like, all of the men in my family struggle with like health problems.
So when I was reading this about Southeast Asian predisposition to
heart disease?
Yeah, and insulin problems and all these different things. I was wondering like, is that Southeast Asian men on a Western diet,
that's
a Western
what I
lifestyle.
Wonder.
That's what I think.
That's what I think.
Because they have genetic tests now that we do not offer on this podcast, but please come back when we do.
Okay.
That different ethnicities are supposed to eat in different ways. And is that why you have gone to the vegan lifestyle? Because that's far more Sri Lankan than like McDonald's, presumably.
No, that there was no life preservation in that decision. It's just like, I really like animals.
You like animals.
Yeah, but I mean, but I am aware of the fact that I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but I got told in 2017, I was doing a show in America.
Mm-hmm.
You remember this show that, you know, when I said goodbye to everyone in the UK because I thought I was going to live in LA for the rest of my life. And then I came back six months later because the show flopped.
Remember it didn't flop and I loved it. And do you remember I had a jacket emblazoned.
Oh, with the Greek date, yeah.
With the date of 2016. Was it December 26, 2016? Your show at the Greek, which was amazing.
Yeah. Anyway, that show,
Part
of it was like the whole premise of the show that I was breaking America and that we're looking into my appearance. And, you know, America is a lot more image obsessed than we are in the UK. And so one of the things I had to do is I had to have a health test. And one of the health tests was I put on a pair of Speedos. It could be any brand of swimming trunks. And then they put me in like a fry basket and they dropped me into this like water tank and they analysed all of my body and like my body fat and stuff like that. So Originally, it was going to be like, I was about 3-4 stone heavier than I am now. But like, it was fun. I mean, I looked, first of all, I didn't look great in the swim shorts. That's immediately funny. And then they dropped me in the fry basket. And it was going to be really funny how that guy told me how unhealthy I was. That was the premise. But when, after we did that, and we did the stuff on camera, the director, Ben, who you know, Ben yeah. Green, he said to me, Ramesh, the guy would like to have a word with you off camera.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. So then he took me to one side and he said, I'm really worried that you're going to die.
Oh.
And he said, all of your readings are like really bad. He said, your body fat is out of control. All these levels are really bad. He said, you are going to have a premature death. He said it was really horrible conversation, obviously. I mean, I don't think I needed to. Anyway, the point is, it was really stern and solemn. And he was like, he said the words to me, you are going to die, which is true regardless, isn't it? But the way he said it was like, you're going to die soon, was the implication.
And he was American.
Yeah.
That hurts and, coming from an American.
Yeah, exactly. So then I thought, obviously I was like, oh shit. But then I do think it put something in my head that I'm going to die prematurely
mm-hmm.
because this sounds mad what I'm about to say, but it is relevant to this. I became utterly convinced, and I've still not completely let go of this belief that I'm just going to die at 50. In fact, I became so convinced of it, I announced it to Lisa.
How did she take the news?
She wasn't as bothered as I hoped she might be. I feel like she saw it as like, that's quite good in terms of, I do love Ramesh. I'd hate for us to split up.
Yeah.
But this sort of takes care of that. And then I can go on to the next leg of my life.
Tennis coach.
And also be financially, you know, and also financially comfortable as well. So you know, I think that, yeah, it's quite a nice way to break up with someone without having to go through the messiness.
It is. And a lot of us, you know, secretly wish that in our marriages. But how old was your dad when he died?
He was 64.
Oh.
Yeah.
And with the philandering and the jail, and you think you would be younger?
I think certain people that on paper, I'm living a healthier lifestyle than my dad did. Mm-hmm. And I just think that means you're going to die sooner.
Do you know, how I mean? You're going to die? Like,
I think it'd be like a heart related thing that's currently existing, but it's been undiscovered. I mean, there's a strong argument that I should go and get myself checked out.
Yeah.
But I've not been inclined to yet. I'm just waiting for it to happen. I do think it's going to make my 50th year quite nerve wracking.
Oh, really fun.
Like the day before my 51st is going to be a fucking roller coaster. Like, I'm going to be convinced something is going to happen that day.
Yeah.
But yeah, I became genuinely, I am still not 100% away from that thought.
You have, I think, had quite a glow up, shall we call it, in the last few years. I think you always looked great. I didn't know that you'd lost 4 stone, but you're running marathons. Even the hair is different. Have you been accused?
I'm not sure about the hair yet. Go on.
I love it.
Do you think so, genuinely?
Yeah, I always think you look good, but I really like this hair.
Thanks. Does it look a little bit soul glow from coming to America?
Yes, that's why I like it.
Okay, that's all right.
Have you been accused of having a midlife crisis?
Like,
what do the kids think of this new look?
I would say sometimes there's too much of an overlap between what I would buy clothes-wise and what they would buy, particularly our eldest, Theo.
Yeah.
Like, he's 15, almost 16 now. And what we're into, I would say that there's too much of an overlap for his comfort. You know, in terms of like, I don't think he wants to be thinking about the same clothes as his dad. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, he wants there to be a degree of separation, I think. So that's not ideal for him. They haven't noticed a glow up.
Okay.
I would say.
What about Lisa?
Suspicion? I would say. Because one of the things I found interesting is like, we are in a time where body positivity is being celebrated and, you know, we are being told that you should be accepted for whatever you are and however you look and whatever your weight is. But what I'd say is the number of, and by the way, I know that you get this far more than I do, being a woman and also, you know, being an attractive woman on TV.
Used to be
an attractive woman on TV. You're still on TV. But
do you know what? I know that it's hard out there for the boys too, especially when you do corporates and people are drinking. I've heard male comedians say that women in the audience will grab them.
I've been hansed.
On the bum.
I've been hansed. On the bum, but then there's a disappointment because I don't really have. I present as if I've got an ass, but
yeah.
I don't.
Okay.
So it's like a grab and then a surprise and then a disappointment, then an acceptance and then goodbye.
Well, they do have padded pants at M&S now.
I'd love to get. Can you get those with the prosthetic cake?
Yeah. Something to think about.
I'd be into that. Something to think about for a long time.
Yeah, because I think people go one way or another. It's good to look after yourself. And the body positivity thing's fine, but it's not true in entertainment.
No.
It just isn't. They will stop booking you if you look old. And the truth is, I like looking at nice, shiny things, attractive things. When they started kind of benching the Victoria's Secret models, I was sad.
Yeah.
I like looking at those models. They look like aliens, like Martians. Nobody's that thin and 7 feet tall with massive tits and perfect bone structure. I like to see it.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
I don't have to go to the zoo.
And I'm not looking at people like that thinking I could be with that person. Because if you think about that as a visual, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think the best way to sort of undermine any fantasy you've got about being with a really hot woman is imagining what it would look like if you were stood next to them, you know? And people just be like, what the fuck is going on there?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it's not that, but it's like, you know, I do think that there's been a difference in that since I've lost weight. And I'm not saying I'm now suddenly hot. I'm not by any stretch. But
people say, tell you you're hot.
There's a different, like there is a difference in the response. Yeah.
Were you a little bit nervous about, oh no, because you don't care about work now, because Jimmy always said to me, and he's got great career advice. He says it's good to be kind of a cartoon. People can describe you in three words.
Yeah.
They like to have a distinguishable, like people would probably say that you're of Sri Lankan heritage. You like hip hop. They might mention visually like the eye.
Yeah.
You mentioned that. That's like a thing. Rob, they might mention his teeth. Me,
yes.
Single mom, Hooters, whatever. Like we all have things.
Yeah.
And Jimmy's got like the Lego hair and the teeth. He's like, don't lose the things. Like, you got to keep the things.
Yeah.
I was changing my hair too much. And he said, you just shouldn't change your hair too much. I mean, he said that and had a hair transplant. But he's like, don't change your
Jimmy,
hair.
Yeah, Jimmy, the master of staying exactly the same all the time.
Yeah. But did you worry a little bit? Like, oh, if I change too much, am I going to lose my audience? Am I going to find a new audience? Will my material resonate? Because...
No. I'm not worried about like weight change or hair change or whatever. I'm not that worried about that. I think that like it's been put to me on a number of occasions that I could have my eye corrected. And I don't think I would ever do that. I think part of the reason I would never do that is I think that my eye is, I don't think I would have been a comedian if my eye wasn't like this. Because I think it's,
because you've seen Dinesh try. Dinesh. Just kidding. He's very funny.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Sorry, I interrupted like quite a important moment.
No, it wasn't important. Nothing I'm saying is important.
You wouldn't change the eye.
I wouldn't change the eye because I don't think I'd be a comedian if I didn't have the... Like, I feel like it most, if not all of the comedians that I think are really good are wired slightly incorrectly or they've got something wrong with them. You know, either... not just physically, but like there is something incorrect about them. Certainly the ones that I really respect. And I feel like growing up with this eye has changed my life experiences in a number of ways that have meant that I've moved towards comedy. I feel like, you know, that self-defense and that you're a bit of an outsider. And traditionally speaking, you know, I've read so many things about good looking is being symmetrical. That's fucked for me. That's a dream. Do you know what I mean? Symmetry is like an impossible thing for me. It's made my experiences different. And now I don't want to get rid of it. And also equally, I've had messages from people who said either my kid or I have got an eye like your similar eye condition. And it's been really nice for me to see you be on TV and do the things that you're doing with the same thing. So now if I feel like if I was to correct it would be sort of a bit of a betrayal. I do also slightly feel like that about losing weight. Because I think that I didn't set out to lose weight. I set out to become healthier. And losing weight has been a side effect of that.
Yeah.
But like there's part of me that feels like it's nice for people who are overweight to not feel like they have to change.
Yeah.
And I feel like when you see a person who is overweight lose weight, that's another signal that being overweight is not the right place to be and you need to change. I, you know, that I kind of feel a bit bad. Not bad. you know, if I felt that bad about it, I'll put the weight back on. But like,
but you didn't do it for aesthetic reasons.
No. Like
you did it for health and fitness. And what about the impact on your mental health? Has this new regime of like working out, marathon training, has it been good for that too?
I never used to think this, but I think exercise is great for mental health. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, I think me realizing that that exercise helps mental health is the reason I've lost weight. Because that, because the honest truth is, when I'm compelled to work out, because I'm going to, I go to the gym a lot, I go running a lot, it's because I know I won't be right in the head if I don't do it. Mm-hmm. So I'm not motivated by staying trim. I'm motivated by feeling good mentally. Do you know what I mean? And so, yeah, it's my mental health has like been so much better since exercising, since starting to exercise.
Talk to me about your mom. I know you talk a lot about your mom, and your mom is dear to us, near to us in our hearts. She's a co-star in a lot of your projects.
Yeah.
What's her health like?
She's got a history of diabetes in her family.
Why?
So it's heart disease on the dad's side, diabetes on the mum's side.
Okay. This Southeast Asian thing. It's not,
shit.
I don't understand. Where does it come from?
I don't know. I mean, the diet's not great.
What's the diet? I've had Sri Lankan food with you, and it was lentils and spice.
I know, but there's a lot of oil and stuff like that. You know, you sort of think about, like, my mum makes an amazing aubergine curry. Before you even start currying the aubergines, you deep fry them.
Okay.
But then you add ghee. It's like, my dad used to spice and deep fry boiled eggs.
Nice.
What the fuck is going on?
Well, that is like a cultural crossover. It's a bit Scotch egg of him.
It's a bit Scotch egg, yeah. But and then you go, he's died of a heart attack. You go, of course he did.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like, when, like, my dad had this funeral ceremony. We had this funeral ceremony after they pass away. You're supposed to help them on their journey to heaven. And you make some things that they like. And you put them in front of their photo. Do you know what's in front of my dad's photo?
Stop.
Right? This is honest to God truth.
Okay.
This is what's in front of my dad's photo. A big bowl of deviled mutton, right?
Okay.
A bottle of Jack Daniels and 20 Benson and Hedges.
All right.
Right?
That is so funny, though. Like, if I died of a heart attack and that was the last, you know, it's, there's a poetic justice to that.
Yeah. It's like the family going, yeah, we knew.
And just like one whore.
We were fully aware. Look at his lifestyle. Did we do anything? No. Are we going to celebrate it now in a funny way after he's gone? 100%.
Well, you know, he lived the way he wanted to do. He drove it like it was stolen, it sounds like.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I like it.
He did drive it like it was stolen, he did.
So your mum herself does not have diabetes, or it's just in the family?
No. And okay. she's kind of got into a bit of a health kick herself now. So she's doing Pilates.
Inspired by you?
I don't think so.
I think you're very inspirational.
Do you think so? Thank you.
Especially to your mother, because she loves you so much.
She is, it's a sort of, it's an all-encompassing, full and wholesome, smothering, suffocating love, isn't it?
Yeah.
She started going to the gym quite a bit, doing Pilates. She started to watch what she eats a little bit. And she's lost quite a bit of weight. But I think that she had a similar thing to me in terms of, you know, I've always had this thing where I sort of feel like exercise, I've always spent most of my life feeling like exercise is shit. Mm-hmm. And people who do it are probably wankers.
Yep.
You know, you sort of think, why would you want to do that? And then when you get into it, when you find a nice way of getting into it, because one of my biggest issues with it is like the extreme nature of it. You know, when people go, you'd see PTs going, listen, first thing, during like the first week of training with me, you might throw up, but that's all part of the process.
It's
fuck off. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think you and I have in common, we don't really enjoy discomfort.
Mm-mm.
And so anything like that, I just like, I don't want to do that. And so then once I found a way that was like gradual and nice, mm-hmm. and just sort of quite a relaxed way into it, I enjoyed it. And I think that's what the similar journey to what my mum's had.
That's good.
Yeah.
And who's the oldest person in your family right now?
The oldest person in my family.
Anyone who you look to and you think, okay, I'm not going to die at 50 because auntie.
Yeah, my uncle, I've got an uncle who just came to visit from Detroit who's 75, 76.
Pretty good.
If I didn't have this like little 50 belief,
yeah,
there's evidence to suggest I could go on for longer.
I think you're going to live for a long time.
Do you think so?
Yeah. Do you think family life keeps you young?
Or
do you find it stressful?
No, I don't find it stressful at all, actually. I do,
Not now, but oh my gosh, like how far apart are the boys? You had like baby.
Yeah. When they were super young, it was really stressful. I feel like that when you have a kid, it opens this door of worry and concern that you just, I remember thinking, this is a horrible thing to say, but I remember like when our eldest used to get ill, I'd become so crippled with worry and concern. And just like, fuck, what do we do to like help him out? I started to think to myself, I don't know if this is outweighed by the positive stuff. Like,
yeah.
I feel so horribly worried and upset for my kids. I mean, there's so many things of like, you know, I'm mentally like riddled with insecurity and issues and stuff like that. And I'm pretty sure I have already guaranteed they will seek therapy at some point in their lives based on their proximity to me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm fucked up, you know, and so like mentally, I do think like I do have a number of, like I am not right, and so I feel like if you're around somebody like that for long enough, it is good. So I'm constantly trying to like I constantly try and worry about that. But in answer to your question, yes, when they were younger, it was really stressful, and also I wasn't making any money from comedy,
yeah.
So that was a problem. Like so, I was worried about what their futures were going to be, and like looking after them and. Were we providing the right stuff for them? And all of that was really stressful. I don't know. I don't know if it keeps you... I sort of feel like my ideal weekend is like hanging out with the kids and like playing board games or going to cinema with them or going bowling with, like, you know, whatever, like family stuff. I prefer to do that more than anything.
Yeah.
And that is quite aging. You know what I mean? That's quite an older person thing to, you know, to
but it
crave.
It keeps you off like the hookers and coke.
Yeah.
A lot of people.
But listen, I dabble.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Obviously.
You got to make time for
you. Yeah, yeah. I would say like once every 5 weeks, at least when the kids know dad's on one of his benders again.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? But like I do like spending time with, so that in a way is like, that's not keeping me young. That is, I do enjoy doing that, but it is, I'm almost embarrassed to say, if somebody says, what did you do last weekend? And I say that, it's quite an older person
okay.
thing to say that you've done. But I'm kind of cool with that, you know what I mean?
So you think that reveals your age? I played board games this weekend.
Yeah, we got really passionate over a game of herd mentality.
Okay, so that feels 47.
It's not cool, is it? It feels really 47.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then what does make you feel young?
I think, again, I think you and I have this in common in terms of I am still like really into new things culturally and like music wise and all of that kind of stuff. I feel it's very easy to get locked into what you like from a certain period. You know, like one of the things they say is like whatever music you listen to between 16 and 24, that is going to have a resonance for you that no other period will ever do. Subsequently, and I feel like I've lost that a little bit. Like, you know, I think that going to gigs, you know, Theo came with me to see Usher, but like I talk music, you know, music and culture with my kids, and I'm across all of those things, and I'm still interested in all of that. So I feel that keeps you young.
How do you think the test is going to go? What's your prediction? Because I feel like you've already said you've got 3 years to live. Give me a number.
I think probably. Physically, in terms of like physical ability to move, I'm probably better than I was 10 years ago,
great.
I think. But in terms of everything else, I would be surprised if I came up with anything less than late 50s. So who's going to tell me?
Me.
You're going to tell me now?
Is
it in this envelope?
Yep. Are you ready? Do you want to break format and open it yourself?
No.
Okay. Let's bring out Dr. Nicola Conlon and then we'll tell you.
Before we get into this, what are your qualifications?
I'm a PhD scientist.
You're a PhD?
PhD, yeah.
There you go. So you've not asked any questions, have you?
Well, I just said...
What number episode are you on?
I just said Dr. Nicola Conlon, okay. And then PhD sounds even better than doctor.
PhD in what?
So I specialise in like cellular ageing and longevity.
Cellular?
Okay. Yeah, so like what happens in our cells to cause the ageing process.
Can I ask you about NADs?
Oh my God, yeah. That is literally my top area.
Is this real? Is this a real conversation?
Yes, it's a real conversation.
Because I'm about to lose my fucking mind. So can you get me... Are you being serious?
No, I'm being dead.
You're an addict.
Like, I literally publish papers on it.
Mate, please. 100%.
Yeah.
Wow, thank you.
Anyway.
I was looking forward to seeing Catherine, but this is like the bonus.
And I come with a NAD dealer. Ramesh.
Yes.
You are 47 years old. Your biological age, though, is 40 years old, 7 years younger than your chronological age.
That's great.
Very good.
That's really good.
Did you like the suspense?
Well, I thought it was going to be younger because of the way you were talking. Yeah, because you sort of went, I think you're going to be all right. You know, yeah. You're sort of being quite reassured.
Well, I didn't know what it was, but...
But then the way you sort of looked at me, I thought maybe it's going to say 20.
Oh.
So actually, weirdly, this is a slight disappointment.
Oh. Oh, no.
To be honest with you. To be honest.
Okay.
I want to be honest.
I think
it's
I appreciate
a slight disappointment.
Your honesty. Okay.
Like, some people would get that number and cry, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
You know.
Nicola.
What does that mean?
Yeah. Is there a way to get it down to 20?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, because this,
these
so
nads.
This is exactly that. So this is the age you are on the inside. So it's the age you are at the cellular level. And that's what matters, because everything that we experience as part of the aging process, ultimately, whether we see it or feel it, it's starting in our bodies at the cellular level. So this test, this glycan age test, measures different cellular markers that basically can show how well you are aging on the inside. And it is based on inflammation. I know you were kind of talking about inflammation earlier.
What inflammation?
So we've basically...
Sorry, that sounded quite aggressive. Do you think that's part of the problem?
No, so in inflammation...
You don't have a problem. This is good news.
Is that good news?
This is really good news, yeah. And
okay.
You know what? I've been listening in the back, and when you were talking earlier about, you know, when you went to have that test in LA and it came back. And that is because there was probably a lot of inflammation in your body. We know that any chronic inflammation will basically drive the rate that you are aging on the inside and make it worse. And it's that age that you are on the inside that is actually the biggest risk factor for future health problems, not what it says on your birth certificate.
That's good. 'Cause actually, so if I could still die at 50... But it'll be 57.
Yeah.
Right?
Nicola, is it a worry that Ramesh was maybe overexerting himself before the test with all this marathon training? Mm. He hadn't tapered yet. That causes inflammation.
Yeah. I'm actually, to be honest with you, that's really good. Yeah. I'm very happy.
No, and do you know, overexercising can cause excess inflammation. We know people that do endurance training, more, you know, more the elite athlete type, often comes back a lot more biologically older.
Can I ask, what is it that's inflamed?
So it's just general inflammation. So whenever you have any sort of trauma in your body, generally what happens is your immune system kicks in.
Right.
It releases inflammatory factors that go around the body trying to fix whatever the problem is. But unfortunately, as we get older, that inflammation, which is good in some circumstances, then doesn't get turned off properly. Mm-hmm. So it's just like a chronic smoldering kind of low-grade inflammation that's just there all the time. And that's really damaging for cells.
Right.
So the link with exercise there is, if you are like completely overdoing it, we know exercise causes inflammation and it's just building and building and building if you're not having the proper recovery. But it sounds like from what you were saying that you're actually pretty sensible. You don't like to overdo it.
No, I love recovery.
Yeah.
That's my favorite part of the whole process, actually. One of the, they said, actually, athletics wise, I'm one of the best recoverers in the game. So how can I bring that number down?
Yeah, you can. And I think what you've been doing already is really important, because what we know is it's mostly lifestyle.
Okay.
That has this effect. So, you know, there's a myth that it's your genes and your genetics when it comes to aging, but it's actually only a very small part what you're born with. It's mostly your lifestyle.
Is that true?
Yep, about 80% lifestyle.
Really?
So
which
being
is why
a so Southeast being, Asian man.
Yeah.
Mm,
this
irrelevant.
Catherine's been sort of really digging in on.
Yeah. So genetics, so what we always say is that genetics almost is gone.
It's on the cards. I know it was on the cards.
It worries me though. I think it's racist. I do. And I don't understand.
Sorry, no, Karen, sorry.
Your people
I know
seem much healthier than mine. Is what I'm trying to tell you, but there's been something lost in translation.
Sure.
Okay. With the I don't know. Okay.
So, but I can bring the number down.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And just when we are looking at inheritance, so we know, as you mentioned, mm-hmm. the risk factors for things like diabetes and cardiovascular disease that are clearly present in your family, we actually look at some markers for that, some quite reliable markers, and you have no risk factors for that at the moment, at this present moment in time.
Are you serious?
None.
Dinesh cut them all. So, and you got none.
Yeah.
So is that true?
Cardiovascular disease, diabetes, they have a very specific inflammatory signature,
yeah,
which we measure, and you haven't got that at all. You were completely green for good.
Are you winding me up?
No, nothing.
This is like the best podcast I've ever done.
This is great.
This is unbelievable.
Lisa's going to be pissed.
Oh, my God. I'm around for a long time, baby.
Forever.
You better tell your PT to wait. Wow, I feel that's great. To be honest with you, that's even because I just thought I'm cursed. Yeah. I'd accepted the curse, you know, but that's amazing. That's so good.
And that's what, when we always say the genetics, although it's emphasized a lot, it really doesn't play a huge role. We always say like genetics loads the gun, but it's a lifestyle that actually pulls the trigger.
Right.
So even someone with the worst genes can change their lifestyle and never suffer from any of the things that the genetic predisposed to.
But also, if your mom, if her side has a predisposition for diabetes and your dad has cardiovascular stuff, you might get the side of the gene that doesn't from both. You could get the good gene from
both. Oh, really? Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, there is an argument though, like what do you think about, because sometimes, like now, I at the moment, because of the marathon, I'm not drinking. I've given up smoking. I've stopped vaping.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm plant-based. Mm-hmm. It's so dull. You know, what I mean is there's an argument. Like for example, how many years without bacon would you trade for 1 year with, I guess, is what I'm asking. Do you know what I mean? There's something to be said for that, isn't there?
So I don't think there's been any specific studies looking at bacon biological age. But what we do know is that the more plant material that you have in your diet. So this doesn't necessarily mean being vegan, like people can still eat meat, but the more plants that you have in your diet, you're looking for around 30 different types of plants each week, has a huge impact on biological age, a positive impact. And it's thought that's because of the impact it has on gut health. So we know the gut is actually really underestimated when it comes to how important it is for, you know, powering the health of the rest of the body. So generally, people that eat a lot more variety of plants have much better gut health, which actually lowers inflammation across the entire body. So given that you're vegan, and I know from the questionnaire that you did, you said you do eat a lot of different types of plants.
I do.
So that's incredibly beneficial.
Big plant, everyone says that about me, don't they?
What are the 30 plants, please?
30 plants are, well, 29 of those are aubergine curry, but they're different aubergines.
Yeah. Okay, good. And then, will losing weight, not that Ramesh set out to lose weight for any aesthetic purpose, it was a byproduct of the mental and, you know, exercise changes, but does that bring the age down?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, there's specific studies done on this. We know fat, especially the type of fat, like white fat. So you've got two types of fat. You've got brown fat. That's like the fat that's deep in your body.
Nicola,
I've
you
got
know
loads
what?
Of that.
That's not very appropriate.
I've got loads of that. That's
white fat.
Well.
It's on the cards.
Have we come to talk about my brown fat?
Yeah, I she's always like this.
We'll cut that bit out.
Have you talked about brown fat with the other guests?
Yeah, that's too much deal. You have white and brown fat. It's,
right.
It's a thing.
What's anyway, tastier?
Sorry. Okay.
So you have white fat and brown fat. No, it's fine. I want to know about it. Don't back away from it now.
Yeah.
There's white fat and brown fat. And what's the difference? One's white and one's brown.
One's actually really good for you and one's actually really bad for
Which
you.
Which one's bad for you?
The white fat is bad.
Okay, finally. We're getting some redress here.
Yeah, it's very pro-inflammatory. Anyway.
Right.
What is the Southeast Asian thing, though? What is that? Why does that put Ramesh at risk for different health things?
So I think that there is genetic. I think the diet obviously plays an impact.
Okay.
The diet can drive it as well. But when we look at weight loss, what we know is that people that are overweight generally have around 5 times more inflammation in the body because fat actually gives off a lot of inflammation.
Okay.
But that's entirely reversible. So within people, they've done studies looking at weight loss. Within 12 months of weight loss, people can lose 5 biological years of age.
Do you think it's better to be skinny than fat?
No, it's a balance, you know, and again, this is a lot of things with biology. It's all about balance. You really don't want to be one extreme or the other. It's really best to be in the middle. Having too little fat is also not healthy. It's always good to have balance.
How big can you make that difference?
Very big, yeah.
Like, could you get it to 20 years?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
How do I do that? Asking for a friend.
So again, I think keeping up with the lifestyle that you've got. Yeah. How do you sleep? How is your sleep?
Terrible.
Right. Sleep would be a really good area to improve on.
Yeah.
So anything that you can do to improve sleep.
How do I improve my sleep?
So do you, like, there's all sorts of things, like people talk about sleep hygiene.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You
know, I'm bad like, for that.
Yeah. Not being on
I
the
look
phone
at my
before.
Phone. Yeah. Right up until the moment my eyes
close. Yeah, so we know that has an impact. Not eating too late. So the later you eat, if you eat quite close to going to bed, that has a big impact on you, your body being able to switch off and rest and recover.
Okay.
Do you take any supplements?
NADs.
Okay.
That's been aging you, that bootleg NAD.
Yes.
I've been getting black market NADs.
Yeah, so certain types of NADs, NAD, where, you know, supplements that switch NAD production back on have been shown in clinical trials to reduce biological age. Mm. Other supplements, things like omega-3, vitamin D, magnesium, those have also got some evidence that they can help.
I use magnesium butter on my feet. Is that real?
Yeah, magnesium is absorbed through the skin. It's one of the only things that actually is.
Creatine, take that.
Creatine, very good as well. That's got some really good benefits. But yeah. Again, it's like even with like supplements and things, getting the lifestyle right first, then that's like the added, you know, bonus on the top with the supplements.
And how does I'm not asking for myself, but how does never ever having sex affect aging?
Well, oxytocin, which you get when, you know, bonding, is very good for biological age. Actually having that connection, good relationships, they are also very good for biological age. Also being married as a man is very good for biological age. Yep.
Okay.
But men that are married tend to have less health conditions as they get older and also live 7 to 10 years longer.
Really?
Yeah.
She's going to have to start giving it to Miss Maynard again.
Yeah. Well, she has to do it for my life. I'm going to say to her, my life depends on this.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. That's good.
This is all very positive. Ramesh, how do you feel?
I feel good. I mean, I didn't know about the, I just assumed that because of my family history, that an early death was inevitable. Mm. And I'd made my peace with that. But like, that's like really cool that you can reverse it. Not reverse it, but you know, your lifestyle can overcome that. I thought it was like a much bigger marker than that. So that was really interesting. Also being younger than my actual age, that's great, really positive. Also being able to use it as sort of an emotional blackmail thing to my wife, that's also another positive I've taken away from this. Is it feasible that like, if I really worked at it, if I devoted my next year to getting that number down, what's the biggest difference I could make?
You could get it to 20.
In a year, I could get it to 20.
That is the lowest by this measurement that you can get it to.
And is that feasible?
Yeah, is that feasible for me?
I mean, there's no reason why it shouldn't be. The thing about biological age is that it is something that you can truly reverse. And I guess this is why it's become such a big thing, because for a long time we thought that aging was this one-way street, that, you know, there was absolutely nothing you could do about it. But over the last decade in the longevity space of scientists, what we've realized is that you absolutely can reverse it. And that's why, you know, longevity, all this biohacking, things like this has suddenly become really big, because it's not like snake oil anymore. It's possible. And we do really see that you can reverse it. And that's important, because when you reverse it, it links to positive health outcomes.
I'll see you in a year and I'll have this down to 20.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Great. Thanks so much for having me on. Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Thanks to Ramesh Ranganathan for joining us on What's My Age Again. And thank you to you for joining us. Be sure to follow us at, what do you think it's going to be? What's My Age Again? _pod across socials to stay up to date. And please do like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time.